Well, let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. We can come into your presence. We can worship you and adore you as the God over all. Thank you that you made this world and all that's in it. And thank you that you are not a long way off, but you are near to all who call upon you. Thank you that you have sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he has come as our blessed Redeemer. He's come to save us from our sin. He's come to help us live a real human life in society, with people, getting on in this world and preparing for the glory. Thank you that our Savior reigns. Thank you that his successive journeys run all over this world. Thank you that his kingdom stretches from shore to shore. And thank you that blessings abound where'er he reigns. We worship you for these things. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, that in Morning Star and day centers there in South Africa, that blessings abound where Jesus reigns. Thank you that through Joan and her team, the staff members and the volunteers, thank you that there such blessing comes to children in great need. And we thank you that tonight we will hear about that, and we pray that our hearts would be really encouraged. Pray that Joan and Glennis would be encouraged as well as they share with us this evening, and for their trip over here during these few weeks. Pray you would keep them safe in all their journeys, that you would give them good health and strength to share about the love of Jesus. And we pray that tonight would be a great start to all that. So we come to you, we commit ourselves to you. We pray now that as we look at your word, which is truth itself, we pray that you would open our hearts to receive it for our encouragement, that we might serve you with our one and only life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles at Mark's Gospel and chapter 6. And just for a short while, let's just think about how God works. How God works in this world. Mark chapter 6. Remember this statement, because this is the one we're going to be coming back to again and again this evening. It's this: God uses his people to get his work done. Very simple. God uses his people to get his work done. Now, when God created the world, he, of course, didn't use anyone or anything apart from his word. He spoke, and it was. He commanded, and it came to be. And by the word of the Lord were the starry host created, and all the heavens. Now, that was obvious that God did that directly, because there were no people around yet. But when God made Adam and Eve, when he made human beings to be on earth, he then made them stewards of his creation. So he made them to rule over all the earth. God rules, but he delegated that to people on earth. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, we read that Adam and Eve were put in the garden to care for creation on behalf of God. So God gives that responsibility of caring for the earth and caring for society, he gives it to people. So God uses his people to get his work done. People were to look after the earth. People had the privilege of working on God's behalf. And it's been that way ever since. And here in Mark chapter 6, we see an example of that worked out in the New Testament. It's the familiar event from verse 30 of the feeding of the 5,000. We read from verse 32, we see something of the scene. Mark 6, verse 32. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. This was Jesus and his apostles. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So here's our Savior with compassion upon people, and that compassion is demonstrated in teaching the Word of God. Now, how long that went on for, we don't know, but by the time you get to verse 35, it's late in the day. So maybe our Savior spoke for quite a while. But it was late in the day, and the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a remote place, and it's already very late. So send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Now, disciples were often saying to Jesus, "Send the people away, send them away." But in verse 37, Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." Now, this was a bit of a shocking statement. There were around 5,000, there was more than 5,000 people, but there was at least 5,000 people, and this hungry crowd needed to be fed, and the disciples didn't have much food at all, if any. And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat. You do it." They say, "Send the people away." And Jesus says, "No, you give them something to eat." Verse 37 continued, they said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "Well, how many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Must have been a large crowd spread across that mountainside, wasn't it? 5,000 people sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Now, verse 41, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Now, here we are. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. God uses his people to get his work done. So Jesus does the miracle. Jesus says the prayer. He has this ability to multiply the fish and the loaves. It's all of him. It's all of the Lord. But who actually gives the food to the crowd? It's the disciples. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. I'd like to know a little bit more about the choreography of all this. 12 apostles, where did they go first? Where did you start with 5,000 people? Which group did they start with? Did those sort of the end of the line or the end of the group think, is there going to be enough left for us? But it's the disciples that give out the food. It's Jesus that makes it. It's the disciples that serve it. God uses his people to get his work done. The disciples distribute the bread. Let me show you another example of that from the New Testament. Come to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, from verse 26 to 40, again a familiar passage where God was going to save a man from Ethiopia. The gospel came to Africa long before it came to Europe. God was going to save a man from Ethiopia. This man was a seeker after the truth. He'd been to Jerusalem. He was on his way home. Now, for God to save this man, he could have sent his spirit directly without any human help. He could have sent an angel from heaven to speak beautiful words to this man. But look how God saves him. Verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Note here, verse 26, an angel of the Lord tells Philip to do this. And in verse 29, the Spirit of God tells Philip to do this. See, God is going to use his people to get his work done. The angel could have done it. The Spirit could have done it directly. But no, we're going to use Philip. Verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, who does the talking? Well, this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice, and who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth. This is pointing directly to Jesus of Nazareth, the Savior of the human race. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Now, verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. It's Philip that does the talking. God uses his people to get his work done. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And at that time, he was baptized. So we see right there back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, in creation, God uses his word directly. No human beings present or instrumental. And then to care for the earth and society and culture, God gives that responsibility to human beings. To feed the hungry, God gives that responsibility to human beings. To save the lost, God gives that responsibility to human beings. God does his work through his people. No wonder then, our final reference in Acts chapter 15, no wonder the Apostle Paul says these words. Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas have to go down to Jerusalem to give an account of how the gospel had gone to non-Jews. And in Acts 15 verse 4 we read, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported, listen, everything God had done through them. Everything God had done through them. And it goes on in verse 12, the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders that God had done among the Gentiles through them. Through them. No, God had done it through them. Now, I find that not just a little bit of a challenge, but also really and highly encouraging. God is in charge of the whole earth, but who's to look after it? You and me, we're to care for creation. God wants to feed the hungry and the needy. How's God going to do that? Through his disciples. You do this. God is going to save the lost. How's he going to do that? Through people like you and me. God gets his work done through his people. And you see how holistic it is. Creation, the hungry, and salvation. God is concerned for every area of life, and he raises up his people to do his work for him. And it's the same today in the church, in youth work, in outreach, in visiting different people in need. God uses us to that end. And we're going to hear in a few moments about how God has used Joan and others to do his work for needy boys and girls in South Africa. It's God's work, but it's done through people like Joan and her team. But to God be the glory.